The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings once again, and welcome to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have the pleasure of your company. And this is the continuation of my conversation with Louis Duplan-Freiberg in the last episode. We talked at length on a number of different subjects, a lot of different topics, and we'll continue on with that right about now. So the continuing portion, part two of my conversation with Louis Duplan-Freiberg. Enjoy. Now, one overall skier that we know from like a past era, you know, also from France, much like you, is Patrice Martin, who's probably done an awful lot to quite a bit to influence skiing in your part of the world. The one similarity that I see between you and Patrice Martin, you know, is the fact that neither of you two have or had a boat sponsor or even a ski sponsor, you know, which I find a little unusual. And I was wanting to find out if there was any reason in behind that, at least from your point of view.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't know about Patrice. So this is a cool fact to know. And for me, my case, I don't know, it would be actually funny to ask him why, but like, in my case, it's just that I just try a ski. If I like it, I ski on it and that's it. So I just pick what is right for me and I ski with it. So that's why, like, in slalom, I have D3. In hands, I have Goody. In toes, I have D3. In jump, I have Goodman's. So it just I'm good on that ski, I keep that ski and that's it. And yeah, it's not like I'm good with that. Like, I'm just picking what works for me, and that's pretty nice. Obviously it'd be nicer if like everything was in the same brand, but I don't know, yeah, it's fine. I don't have like any contract with a ski brand, and it's fine. I just like obviously these ski brands, I said, like, they're helping me, like they're giving me good skis, right? And it works for me, and so I keep it like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was maybe figuring that you wanted to have a little bit more freedom as to what ski brand or what particular ski you liked, you know, whether it be a syndicate, you know, on slalom or a reflex or trick ski, and obviously you jump on Goodman's. I mean, you drop that pretty big hint there, you know. So I mean, I was probably trying to see if you're going down that route, but I mean, it's probably a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah, no, there's part of freedom. Yeah, exactly. Because yeah, if I want to, yeah, that's pretty, yeah, freedom. Say, man, yeah, and that's also the thing about like overall. I mean, in my case, I know like I train a lot, and when you do overall, you train, all day long, all year long. And so I don't have a lot of time to try new stuff. So that's why when I find something that works, I'm like, okay, I keep it. And that's it. Yeah. And I don't spend a lot of time a year just trying different stuff. When I feel it's time to try some stuff because I feel like I can get better with something else, I do it. But yeah, most of the time, like I keep it, and so that's what you say. There's a part of freedom where I'm just like, oh, okay, this, I felt like that ski would be better. Just like, okay, gonna ski on that ski. That's it.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, for someone like yourself, I mean, it would only take a phone call, you know, to one or two of your friends, like on the phone to Joel Poen, like saying, can you get me a Graviton over there? I want to give that a try today and see what's up with that, or maybe you can get in touch with like Richard Abelson and see if it's possible to get one of those new good Avalon trick skis, you know. But I mean. But I mean, I talked a little bit about tricks, which kind of hinted a little bit about what I'm wanting to ask you, and it's your trick run, your hand run, because because I always enjoy watching you trick. I mean, you've probably noticed that at the end, and it is in particular the last little sequence where you do like an inverted Waco. Traveling across the wake, so kind of tell us how that all came into play. How you figured out that maybe you could do something like that, you know, and kind of like make it your own little signature move at the end.
Well, I'm like thinking about like two fun facts. I don't know. So at first. I built that run. I was at Worlds in Malaysia, 2019, and I saw like everyone was doing that, you know, the half track, went to final. And I'm like, oh, okay, I have to learn that trick because I'm going to put in the run. It's going to be in time. And so I go back to France, 8 tries, I learned the trick, I put in the run. 1 month later, I do a PB. And I'm like, okay, so that's a good first part of the run. Then I show the run to Nicolas Le Forestier. and the guy looks at me and say, like, man, like, this is awful. You can't finish your run with an inverted ski lino and a wake back. Like, come on, like, this is ugly. There's no style to it. So I got pissed. So I got, okay, I'm going to do a Waco, I guess, now. So I decided to do the Waco. And he's like, okay, why don't you do the wake 5 back? So I'm working on the wake 5 back. I fell Worlds in finals. I put it a couple of times this year, last year, in tournaments. So that's the next step, yeah. And he's like, okay, that is looking better. It's not as cool as my sequence. He was saying that. But I'm like, shut up. that's how he came up. And also... at the time I was skiing on Quantum, and Quantum has really good pop on ski lines. Mm-hmm. So for example, you were talking about that, like, I tried the radar, and this ski has so much air in for flip. Like, I was going super high, so I was losing a lot of time too, but like I was going super high, and I'm like, wow, there's some stuff that I can push and do like more rotation here on the flips. But I could not do any ski line with it. So that's why I stay on the Quantum. And then I just felt like the ski had a good bounce. And I'm like, wow, like I can, after the ski line, I can bounce to do this Waco. And just like I used that to just, I mean, I used my ski to just like, okay, what is my ski good at? The flips is like, it's missing a bit of pop, but on the ski line is super good, so let's use it on that part. And then I'm like, oh, there's something to do here in my run, and I did that.
Yeah, because you're about the only person that I know that actually does that sequence at the end, and it is a pretty exciting part of the run to, you know, like just to kind of like encourage you along, like go. I want to see that part of the run, you know, because it's just so out there, it's just so unusual, you know. Yeah. And it's really refreshing that you can add a little, that kind of innovation towards the end of that run, you know, on a trick that pretty much everyone does, you know, in the run there. But the way that it's performed there is just remarkable, at least in my point of view anyway.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, take a bow. There we go. Now, the next best event that I see you in is the jump event. Now, probably a lot of people have probably forgotten the fact that you've actually been a European champion in the jump event about two seasons ago, I think it was, in San Gervasio. But I mean, obviously, yeah, you train with Jack Travers and a whole bunch of other people who are just like big on the jump event. You know, I mean, it's jump, 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 and then more jump. You know, but I mean, kind of tell us a little bit about your progression in that event. You know, and how it's and how it's how that's kind of worked for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to. I trained a lot. I mean, a lot with Natalia Benikova.
Okay.
So she was in 2021. Yeah, she just made me. Oh, that's funny because we were talking about that yesterday. She made me just do single for like 2 or 3 months. And then three quarter for another 2 or 3 months. And that year I qualified for masters. And then got injured, came back, did PB. Oh yeah, no wait. National. Yeah. No, I did good the 2022, and then 23 I did like national record, 24 national record, and 25 national record again. And it just we just worked on the basis, how you kick a ramp, how you cut, and I'm figuring out these basics, because like I think the most important is the basic in water ski, and so we just started at zero and worked together, and I feel like I improved.
You've improved a lot. So you are the French national record holder. What distance do you hold with? Do you hold that record with?
229.
So you're at the cusp of 230 feet. I like where this is going. You know, so now. You're right on the doorstep of 230 feet. It probably isn't that significant a number to you, at least so far as metric is concerned, because everything is metric there in France and most of everywhere in Europe. You know, so 230 feet. Oh, that's just some barrier that the Americans aspire to. You know, so I mean, does that target come up for you too much as something you want to try and get over?
Yeah, obviously I want to go far.
Of course, don't we all?
Yeah. I just see like I don't know, when you get to when you pass 25 to 225, you just have that feeling of really flying. I feel like it's indescribable, and yeah, on the 229, I felt I was flying, and I got excited. So I started to scream in my while I was landing the jump. I should have just bent my knees,
just suck those skis up.
Yeah, that would have been way smarter for me.
Yeah.
But just the feeling there is incredible. So that's just what I'm looking. It's just like that feeling of acceleration. Then you kick the ramp, and you just like go up, and then you just look around and you're like, whoa, what's happening?
Okay, so in that context, you know, what has to change and what has to be improved upon to get you to like the higher echelon jumps that are produced by someone like Joel Poland or Dorian Llewellyn, you know, I mean, because those guys have been over 230 feet on like it's very, very consistent for them, you know?
Yeah, I think, it's part of the setup, and for me, how high I'm on the boat. And, that would be Yeah, I think that would be it.
Yeah, just get up a little higher.
Which I'm working on, right? But yeah, that's the thing. But then, I was going to say then there's also the conditions, because like you can, like we tend to forget, but like you can't go 230 in, like you can only go 230 in like good conditions, because sometimes you have tournaments where, I don't know, like when we do the overall, it's good for the shows, and it's good for the show, there's people, but like the condition are good, but like they're not going to be perfect. It's high between altitude, so the body's not like super powerful, and we're still going with good distances. But like, yeah, for like Florida, I would say spring or autumn, September, October is the best condition to do the big jumps.
Indeed. You know, so I mean, getting up more up alongside the boat, you know, what goes through your mind at that point, you know, because I mean, you want to try and retain as much water speed as you can into the turn, so you're not bogged down, you know, you got to try and figure out the timing, you know, whenever you make those little changes, you know, so I mean, when someone like you jumps, you know, and when you approach like the 500 and 600 or 700 or 150, 180, 210, you know, in metric parlance, you know, so kind of what sequence, what thought processes kind of do you have in your mind at that point as you approach the jump course?
I'm riding my skis every day, so I know exactly.
So it's more instinctual than actually a fully fledged like thought process. It's more instinct than anything else. Is that what you're going to try and tell me?
Yeah, I mean, I will say like you work and a training to. I mean, the way I see it, like you train and you can, so you how you say it, like. You're doing over and over and over again your movement or your technique, and then tournaments you just like deliver, or you just you restitute. That does it a good? I don't know if it's the right word, but you just like just do whatever you know to do, and when I don't know, into like at the 6 years at training, I'm like some days I'm like okay. I'm going to have to be late because there's the wind, or it's just like, okay, today I'm going to push it. I'm going to be later on the ramp. So you need to, you have to trust it. But most of the time, you know that I know if I'm like, I don't know feet, but if I have I'm 1 meter close to the six, I know that I'm going to be late I know where I'm going to be. And it just depends. The most important is to be just consistent on in everything you're doing. I mean, I believe so. That's where I'm at right now. But like, if you're consistent with your pull out, if you're consistent with your counter cut and how you glide, then after it's just like adapting the path. So what you were saying at the six, if you want to be earlier, later, you're just adapting that, and that's like if you're there, it's pretty good, because but that's the beauty of the sport, is that like sometimes you're gonna get higher, sometimes you're gonna not get enough speed or too much speed, but then you have to adapt, and that's what makes it hard, and that's what makes it exciting.
Okay. As we went through this interview, you obviously mentioned the World Water Skiers Tour on a number of occasions through what we've talked about so far, at least so far as this interview is concerned, you know, and it's that series, you know, that is supported by Red Bull and a whole bunch of others, you know, that bring together the top overall skiers such as yourself and Dorian and whoever else that competes in that on that stage, you know. So let's talk a little bit about that, you know, because I mean it's the I I Do you know a little bit about the dates, you know, and what tournaments are gonna when they're gonna be around about the summer, you know, because I have a few dates here for some of the stuff that's on the Water Ski Pro Tour, which has mainly slalom events and the odd one or two tricks events here and there, you know. But do you have any information there on the water ski overall series?
We got the date beginning of December, so we're gonna have in July we have two tournaments, one in New Hampshire, the 10th, 11th, I believe, of July. Then the weekend after, we go to Montreal in Canada.
Oh, wow.
To do the second stop. Then we have the third stop in Austria, second week of August. And then we do the final at Jack Travis Ski School, the 11th and 12th of September.
11th and 12th of September, which is about the... Yeah. Which is about the same date as the Lake 38 slalom for the single event slalom skiers, you know, and pretty much all of those dates that you just mentioned conflicts with at least one other major tournament, you know. So I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard to actually get these dates to actually kind of sink in, you know, to where skiers can like maximize their potential in the single event while still competing hard in the overall events, don't you find?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was saying in the interview that I'm going to focus on the one I can do overall, so the World Water Ski overall tour and the Nautic series. But yeah, it's, I mean, like, for example, I love Monaco, Morocco, all these tournaments in Europe, but when you go there, yeah, you just I'm going there for like two rounds of tricking or maybe three rounds of tricking. So as long as I can do two events, I'm fine going there. But then you have to make choices if you want to go to this tournament or keep training and jump. Like that, you, when it comes July, you still like at the good. You kept jumping, because that's why I did in 25. I went to all these tournaments in July, in June, and I arrived in July. I did not jump like I did like four sets before the overall tour since Masters. So it's been like 6 weeks with four jump sets, and I was like, well, overall tour, let's go. So yeah, and then it took a bit of time to just get back to the level of ceiling I wanted to go farther. So it's just it's tricky. It's definitely I'm not going to say heartbroken. It can be heartbroken because
frustrating.
You want to do something. Yeah, exactly. Frustrating is the good word. Where you want to do this tournament, but you're like, yeah, okay, but if I'm just like keeping my goals in mind, I have to pass on that one and just train for that one. And it's it's frustrating, but it's also showing that the sport is doing good for itself. Like we have more tournaments, it's getting exciting because we have a lot now, so battles are going to be fierce every weekend, everyone can win.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's the also the beauty of it.
Yep, it's going to be a busy summer for us here on TWBC. I know that for a fact, you know. So I mean, yeah. You mentioned a couple of tournaments there in your response there, the Monaco Water Ski Cup and Funglis, which is going to be on back-to-back weekends in the middle of June. Mm-hmm. But prior to all of that is the Royal Nautique Pro in Morocco. That was a really, really good tournament last year. Plenty of hype, plenty of excitement, you know. And I think you were there last year, weren't you, in Rabat?
Yeah. I finished second in trick. No, remember?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I mean, yes, of course you finished second in Trick there, but obviously with a lot of your return, with a lot of motivation to finish first in the event this year over at Royal Nautique. You know, so I mean, kind of give us your impression of how that event went last year.
Oh, it was. I think it was the. With the, for me, like, that was maybe the funnest one. Mumba is pretty close, even though I did not ski as good as the Royal Pro. But not speaking about the skiing, the tournament in Morocco was top. I was like, we say la crème de la crème, the cream of the cream.
Yeah.
It was so good. We like, I don't know, everything was super good. The organization, okay, the ski condition were challenging, but that's like, well, you're there and you have to perform no matter what's at the condition. So it was, to be honest, it was so much fun. And the quality of the tournament, like the reception, the way the athletes were taking care of the partner, like the people and the partners of the event were taking care of. It was a really good show. I loved the opening ceremony with the drone show. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, it was like, it felt like the tournament felt like.
Felt like what every tournament should be like.
Yeah. And I felt like you went there for like 4 days and you felt like you got like a week of holidays and just it was like a good cut from the world. Like, you just, I don't know, there was something in its own timeline. Oh, yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and you've mirrored a lot of what everyone has said about that tournament, you know, so we look forward to seeing that come back in the first weekend in June. Now, we have a whole stack of tournaments. I mean, we're not going to go through all of them in this podcast, you know. I mean, and we're almost an hour now on this podcast episode, you know. So actually, one of the longer ones that we've been in. But before we actually went onto this podcast, I normally do like a quick conversation, you know, just to try and do a little bit of prep. I don't do that much prep, as you probably notice. But the prep that I do concerns next year. The World Water Ski Championships, obviously, are wanting to get that world overall title back. But it's going to be complicated next year, because next year it's going to be in Australia. It's going to be in February, and the people that I've spoken to so far, whether it be a single event or an overall, you know, they're gonna have to plan starting now. You know, when they're going to rest up, you know, and what tournaments they do, you know, to try and at least to save up a bit of energy to perform at their very best when the World Championships comes around next year, being 2027.
I totally agree. Yeah, that's what I was saying to my team. I mean, because I have a team like at home, PT. Physique coach, and same thing in Orlando. We're talking and we're just saying that it's like I'm getting ready to ski for 14 months and not for 10 months as I'm usually doing. So, and yeah, and then at the end of the 14 months there is a world championship. so it's definitely not the same as you do your year, you schedule your training. And so yeah, you have to. That's what we're saying about the tournaments. You have to make choices about like what tournament you're doing, when you're taking your days off, you're resting. And I agree with you. It's a lot of. In French, we say casse-tête. It's like you have to figure out how you're gonna do it. and it's like, yeah, but yeah, everyone will figure it out, and things will be how they should be.
No, so I mean, what are your goals for this season? Because of obviously in that last response, you've mentioned that you're very well aware that that the that the Worlds is coming up in February, you know, so you got to kind of like prepare, you know. But I mean, they're still this season. I mean, there's still this season to go. I mean, you've got singular events, overall events, probably a confederation title event in the European Championships. If you fancy doing that over in the Republic of Georgia, there's that event to take place as well. So I mean, there's so many tournaments, you know, and we never really had this in the recent past, you know, where we have this many tournaments stacked together weekend by weekend. You know, it was normally like one or two, and then you'd spend an entire month, you know, just waiting for the next one. And these tournaments just come back to back to back to back to back. It's like relentless, you know. And then October comes around and the end of the season, and what do you do? Because you're kind of waiting on January and February to come around to prepare for the World Championships at that time.
Yeah. Oh, you're asking me like what I'm going to do October, yeah, November?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, training. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, yeah.
But how hard do you train, though? I mean, is it training to maintain, training to learn a new skill, training to, you know, for whatever goal do you have when you get past October? Because your body's got to be spent by then.
As you said, I'm like my goal is the World Championship. The world title in overall in 27. So I'm organizing the year to get ready for that event and that event. Yeah. So I mean, to be honest with you, October, November seems a bit far away to tell you like, yeah, I'm going to do that thing at that time of the year. It will be like, I think I will just adapt how things go. But yeah, I'm trying to listen to my body, and if my body is telling me, you need to rest. Okay. I rest. And if I'm feeling good, I know December in Florida, it's so nice. It's 80 degrees every day. And so if I want to ski, I go ski, and, I will see, cause you have like January, February to get ready for Worlds. I think it's, you have January and 2 weeks in February, so like 6 weeks before like a good tournament. Yeah, I will see like how it goes, but yeah, I think I will adapt and see what to do. If like, yeah, you realize that this season the trick level is insane and you need to put this new trick in your run, then you work on that. Then in slalom, I don't know, like, yeah, you keep, I mean, right now where I am, I need to keep training and then jumping something. So yeah
because we'll, I mean, see. You've got the overall goal and then you've got the individual goal. I mean, you've got the tricks, you've got the slalom, and you've got the jump in its components, you know. But I mean, the big one's the overall. I mean, and I'm sure that's not lost on you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the overall.
Yes, indeed. It's all about the overall. Okay, we'll put a wrap on this podcast episode. It's gone over an hour, and it's been an absolute delight to talk with you about the seasons past and the seasons to come. Louis Duplant Fribourg, and hopefully I pronounced that right. I try my best, you know, with
what I like I do. The way you say it.
Louis Duplant Fribourg.
Yeah, I joke sometimes with my brother, because like it seems like we have a name in French, and then when we were ski we have the name you saying, and I love it. It's
like, I
don't mind at all. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, that's good. That's reassuring. At least what a. Whatever I'm trying to do yields some fruit anyway. So with that, I normally give the podcaster interviewee the chance to say thanks, acknowledgements, that kind of stuff, you know. So here's that opportunity for you.
Merci. Thank you very much. I mean, for the interview. Yeah, if I want to say, yeah, I mean, yeah, if I want to say thank you, yeah, to, I mean, like, as always, like, my family, my family, my friends, team, home in Florida, and then, yeah, my partners, that are, like, helping me to do what I like, what I love. Yeah, thank you. That's it.
Well, I don't think so because there's a very special person that you got to thank somewhere in that midst as well, haven't you? Right, Brooke.
A special one,
yeah.
Brooke.
Yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend. Yeah, for me, it's family.
Okay,
no, you're right. You're my girlfriend. No, she's important. And you know what? Like before the podcast, she was saying like, "Oh, are you going to talk about me? Are you going to talk about me with Tony?" So yes, I'm talking about her. Yes.
Yeah. Right at the very end, she'll have to listen all the way past an hour to hear that. But there you go.
Love it. Exactly. Yeah. No, she's helping me a lot, and it's more than a great support. Like. She's awesome. I'm a big fan.
Certainly not surprising there. So there we go. That concludes this interview with Louis Duplan-Freiburg, one of the preseason interviews on the TWBC podcast. Thanking you for your support. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.